Welcome to VI Talk, sharing ideas, information and support.
Hi everyone, it's Jo here and it's a pleasure to invite for the first time to the podcast Faz. Hi Faz.
Hi, hello everyone.
So Faz used to come on some of our Zoom chats quite some time ago now, I think, for a chit chat and talk about anything and everything as we do. So Faz, do you want to start by telling us a little bit about yourself, perhaps a little bit about your sight loss journey?
Okay, my sight loss journey. I grew up not knowing I was visually impaired. And we found out at 10 that, hold on, he's not autistic. He's actually visually impaired. And my grandma took me to the opticians with her, and they were like, he's legally blind. How has he got this far ahead in life? And yeah, and then we got rushed. I got rushed into a special school because I was about to go into mainstream school at 11. And it was just like, I was happy because I didn't, not lost anything to know anything, but I've got light perception. It's just, I don't worry because it's like, I've not lost anything to think. I've never had 20/20 to worry about it, if that makes any sense.
It does. It does. So did you have any sight when you were at primary school?
I had smell because I knew kids by smell. I was pretty much like Danny Zuko from Greece. I would wait there, stand by a certain wall and wait for the kids to come to me because I could never find them running around.
Yeah.
And it was just easier for them to think, come to me. And when we used to have the reading books, I had a reading book that I kept in my, you get it from reception, and I read the same book all through reception to year 6, and they handed me upside down, and I read it being confident, and I was like, yep. And they were like, yeah, we've just handed you that book upside down first, and it's like, okay, you've just memorized it because my dad used to read me that book.
Yeah.
And it was just like, oops.
So, and nobody picked up on it during primary school.
No, because I was great at maths, great at science, but it was, they picked up on within English because I'd miss the and a or t, the small little words, and then I'll just spell it the way it sounds, like fibromyalgia. I'll spell it the word fiver and then el, and it was just, everything was spelt out. And they were like, okay, we know what you're trying to say. But it just picked up as dyslexic. And because my eyes look normal, they were like, oh, there's nothing wrong with me.
Right. Yeah. Gosh, that must have been a very interesting journey.
Yes, it was fun.
Yeah. Okay, so if we come forward a bit. So you went through secondary school.
Yeah. I went to secondary school. I went to the special school, secondary school, and I just wanted to be normal. So I wanted to be, career day when they asked you, I wanted to be a boxer. because it was big to be, there was a boxer that was big. And I was like, I would like to be a boxer. And they were like, you can't, you're blind. And I was like, well, I could do anything I want. And yeah, I had teachers in school and I just didn't pay attention because I just wanted to be normal like everybody else. They adapted things to me, and then once I left school I was lost. After 18 I was just lost. There was nothing for me after dropping out of college, and I was lost for 12 years.
Gosh. So just drifting along, I guess, just not knowing what to do, where to go.
Yeah, I didn't know what to, because as soon as you leave school, as soon as I left college, there was like, what do I do? Then it was just, I used to pretend to be normal on the bus as well, doing the same thing, holding a newspaper, pretending I was reading it. And like, just walk everywhere because there was nothing else to do, because there was no AD on movies, or I didn't know. I knew about the RNIB, I knew about Action for Blind, but I didn't know what VI community was out there. And funny thing is, there's four visually impaired people that actually live on my road, and I've never actually seen them. Well, I've seen them now because I've made friends with them, but yeah, I was like, yeah, they actually live on my road, and I was like, oh, okay.
Wow.
That's how close I lived to
Wow,
someone
that's doesn't happen often, I
that's
don't
it.
think, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
No.
bring us forward that 12 years then, and what happened then? What changed things for you?
Obviously, I started drinking because there was nothing else to do. And then they promised me an eye operation to fix my eyes. And they were like, try certain things. So we tried. I gave up drinking and fell in love with the Formula One. And I just started, we're going for an eye operation because I was supposed to get cross-linking surgery. And obviously, we missed out on the left. And then on the right, that's what sent me down a little bit of depression again, because it was like, and that took me into the room of the echo, because I was lost. I don't know what to do. I've done everything you've asked me to do for that. And the operation, I missed the cut-off date for what an operation can be. And then I was lost. And then obviously that's when the echo spoke to me and told me, do you know there's these things out there? And I was like, okay, I'm not blind. Yeah, and then obviously it just took me. It just took me time to get around to it, to understand. Yeah, okay, maybe I am. And then I bought an iPhone. I was, oh, okay, this is how it's easy to do this. And it's like, oh, okay, technology's come on. I don't have to have that big ugly screen with the big computer and just everything talking out to me. And it was just sensory overload. And I was like, well, this is a lot neater to do. I feel a bit like Spock. Yeah, so I liked it, and I was like, okay. And then obviously, I got a little dog named Sam, and said, and obviously, because all my friends went off to university or got married, I got a little dog named Sam, and I took her out, and she taught me how to use my cane, because I never used a cane before, and obviously, I learned to do everything with Sam, and then. A guide dog came around, and that
So
was
it
a bit.
sounds like Sam gave you a lot of confidence to help you
Yes,
get out and about and back into the community and everything.
because obviously people just thought I was arrogant and obviously just rude, because I would never make eye contact with people. I wouldn't talk to people. Wouldn't know. But as soon as they saw me with this little dog the size of a cat, they were, "Oh, you're friendly." Yeah, I just didn't see you, and obviously because I had to use the cane to walk and give a. Commands forward, left, right. People, oh, we didn't realize you're vision impaired, but now we see you actually are. And it was like, yeah. And then obviously, me and Sam used to go to the cinema and do everything until she got into trouble. Took her into the cinema to go watch Life of Pi, and she loved it. But obviously, they were like, that's not a guide dog. And I was like, no, it's not, but I'm blind. Does that still work? And they were like, let you in this time. But you can't keep bringing your dog in, even though we've got nobody else in here. You can't keep bringing your little dog into here. They just take it to everywhere, like Wilkinson's and stuff. But they never said anything to me because I had my cane with her. She was well behaved. If she was not well behaved, I wouldn't have taken in.
No.
But yeah.
So you, how did you sort of make the decision to get a guide dog? You mentioned a guide dog a minute ago.
It was so I went into. I was feeling low after the op, being told there's nothing we can do for you. We've missed the cut-off stage to have cross-linking surgery on your left, and you're not going to get your sight back. And that's when I went into the ECLO at my local hospital, and he told me about it. And I was just, and I saw his guide dog there, and I was like, okay, I've got a dog. I don't need another dog. How's this going to work? And I just thought, okay, I'll give it a go. If it doesn't work, I can always say I tried it. And everyone keeps saying, get a guide dog, but never knew what a guide dog did. And because I never knew what a dog needed before, because I've never owned a pet. And I was like, I don't know what they need. So it was a good job I had Sam first to realize the sleepless nights, the worrying, that was all. Get that out of the way with Sam, and then when Topper came, it was like, oh yes, I know what I'm doing now. I'm a perfect daddy.
Oh, that's lovely. That's really nice. So I'm guessing where Sam gave you confidence to get her back out and about, Topper must have been the next level up from that, really,
Oh
must
yeah, it's a key to the city. We travelled everywhere. Western Supermare. We did snow, not snow. Yeah, Snowdome is the where it's snow play. obviously we randomly got used to go out for ice cream. Oh, but I live in Birmingham, so Topper love people watching. So you'd either go into Birmingham and we'd like, let's go to Pigeon Park and just watch all these people, or let's
Yeah.
just Pigeon what park, let's just watch people in the train station. And we used to get the train into Birmingham, and I just used to let him go, Topper, where do you want to go? And he will find a platform, and we would just jump on it. And it was like, okay, we ended up in Stratford for fish and chips. I was like, wonderful, Topper, that's perfect. And because he was allowed in everywhere, that's what we did. And it was like,
Gosh, adventures,
I randomly ended up in Blackpool one day with him, and it was just like, that's a bit far to go for an ice cream and coffee, but the wonders of having a guide dog where you just feel confident that you don't have to worry about the next step. And I've got it. He took care of that, and it was just like, and then he empowered me to start my group.
Yes, I was just going to move on to that. So you have a group for visually impaired people, don't you?
Yes, I do. Yes.
And the lovely thing about your group is that you've named it after your little dog Sam, haven't you?
Originally it was for 6 years, it was named after my little dog Sam because of what she gave. And then now we became a not-for-profit organization, and I had to use a more professional name. I couldn't call it Topper and Sam because that would probably still sound like a butcher's.
Right. So tell us about the group. Tell us, how it came to be, what made you start it, and who's it for, and where is it, and how do people find out more?
It started, so 6 years ago, it started as Sam's because there was nothing in the Sutton Coldfield area for visually impaired people. And I found out about a charity that Birmingham Vision that was still around but started closed down. And I was volunteering for them, doing the bowling and at the pub nights, and just like picking people up from the, pardon me, picking people up from the train station and just doing anything I could because I enjoyed talking to people. And obviously because Topper loved getting out and about and getting fuss, it was just like, yeah, we can do this. And then after that, charity closed down, and everyone had nowhere to go. And I was like, well, Sam gave me community. I'll start this group online on Facebook, and we'll carry it going. And this was obviously before the pandemic hit, and we were doing really well. We had loads of members come in and stuff, and then pandemic hit, and it closed down. And then we slowly started opening back up, and we did obviously events after the pandemic, and like we did like the bowling pub. Well, it's turned from a pub night now to a Birmingham meeting social. And like we go to, we've just done the West Midlands Safari Park, which was amazing, and I learned out what a lemur was and a llama.
Oh, Lena's a lovely.
So I just learned what that was. And obviously, we do afternoon teas and we do holidays, and we just all, everyone within the group has their own skill. And obviously, it's brilliant that I can delegate to people to say, I'm awful at this. Can someone else help? And someone else takes charge. And obviously, I've been doing it for 6 years on my own. And then this year, we turned into a non-profit, and it's probably been the best thing I did because I've now, I can, it's a hard work applying for funding,
It is.
but it's nice where I'm not having to self-fund it for 6 years. And, but like the community's there, and obviously we've got people all over Birmingham that come, and obviously even like from West Brom. And we've been even asked to open up a local vision hub in Shropshire and Shrewsbury.
Right.
And I was like, wow, okay, I'm only little.
Yeah.
So, there's like one of the the eye doctors
Yeah.
says, oh, would you like to open one? Because it's apparently a rural area.
Yes.
And I was like, okay, well, it's only me and Topper. We can't, I don't know how that works, but we will do it. And it's like we've started, we're doing it, we're providing tech support as well now. And we
Brilliant.
just meet up monthly. Well, yeah, meet month the first normally first Mondays to do like our social, but then we just decide whatever we want to do. whatever people want to do and when they want to do it. And when we just get together, we just say, oh, we fancy doing this. I plan it. We meet all meet up and we just all go.
Fabulous. That's
Yeah.
great. So it's you as the lad, isn't it? Because everybody gets a say as to what they want to do and
Yeah.
you all work together.
Yeah.
So do you have, when you meet once a month, do you have a specific place where you meet?
Yeah,
Or
so it's at the Quinto Lounge. It's one of those cozy lounges that they've got a lot of them in all over the UK.
yeah.
It's the one where it's the really dietary friendly menus.
Yes.
And like they've got, so we all meet there. And we've been going for like 4 years there.
Yeah.
And like we meet and then obviously we discuss what we want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes a meeting could be 2 hours and sometimes a meeting I've been there till six. And it's just whenever. What I like is I'll stay as long as the last person wants to stay.
Yeah.
Because, and also sometimes if we go home at four, there's no point. We're going to be stuck on the train or the bus. Let's just stay for another hour and you won't be stuck in that traffic going back home.
Yeah.
It's always
Yeah.
nice to have more coffee.
Yes. So you're a not-for-profit now, so because I know
Yeah.
this all started because you sent me through your constitution and everything
Yeah.
and an update on what was happening with the group and everything, which
Yeah.
was fab.
Yes. I had, when we went to event with the RNIB and one of the ladies there spoke to me about funding. And I was like, okay, I've got no clue what I'm doing. But they walked me all through it, like Birmingham Community Matters all walked me through it and
Yeah.
age concern. And I was like, oh, this is perfect. And obviously explained to me how to get a bank account and stuff. And I was like, yes, okay. This isn't as hard as I thought. Well, it's still difficult,
Yeah.
but
It's
it's
just a
nice.
bit scary, isn't it, at first? Because all the, you think of bank account money, that's, signatures on bank accounts. It's all a bit daunting at first, isn't it? And then once you've got a good team.
That's it. That's it. Because we've had 6 years of knowing who we can trust and what who's
Yeah.
good within the group at doing their own skills.
Yeah.
It's okay. Wonderful. So I didn't have to push people too hard to say, but you're interested in helping because people always want to do something. There's always someone in the group that's talented to do something.
Yeah, and if it benefit people, it benefits them as well,
Yeah.
doesn't it? It benefits everybody, doesn't it? If everybody does a little bit. Yeah. So, if anybody is interested in coming along to any of your meetups, Faz, and getting involved, perhaps maybe they want to help out, or maybe they just want to come along and enjoy what you've got to offer, how do they do that? Who do they contact?
Okay, they contact myself. Obviously, my oh, this is okay. The email address is info@visocial.co.uk. The website is being it's in the process of being made. I've seen the first, but I've just had to change one or two things because trying to make it completely accessible
Yeah.
and obviously leaflets and stuff. And obviously, we've got a mobile number, which is 0751915 5374, and
Okay.
that's what. Yeah, that's how you can usually contact me, and obviously we do a ladies' Zoom as well, and we also went to Disney. I forgot to mention.
Did you? Wow,
Yeah,
gosh.
went to Disneyland Paris, and
Fabulous. How many
yeah.
of you went?
Six.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah. Topper loved it because he got the full seat on the top front of the plane was they reserved the whole front row to him, so he kicked me off the seat. And normally you'll go for a spend to 2 minutes as soon as you open the door. But because where we stayed there was a McDonald's not far away. He always ended up somehow up to the McDonald's and was like, Dad, while we're here, we might as well get a McFlurry and 20 chicken nuggets. And he came back 4 kilos heavier.
Oh,
Yes.
oh dear.
Yeah. And he did try and jump into the It's a Small World ride because you sit on a boat on that ride. And
Ah, right.
yeah, that's the only ride he got to go on. But, and yeah, he loved the park.
Oh, lovely.
Me and him
Fabulous.
met my favourite character, Goofy.
Ah, nice.
So I'm everywhere at the moment.
Yeah. So, anybody in the Birmingham area, I'm guessing.
Yes, Anyone in the Birmingham area? We've had people from like Rugeley, which is not far, and Telford, even Shropshire. As long as you can get to, if you can get to Birmingham, or you want to do anything, because obviously we rely a lot on passenger assist and to
Yeah.
use the services that are out there. And because within locally in my area, sort of Salford, everyone knows me and Topper or me and Sam.
Yeah.
So there, if I'm usually at the bus station, bus stops, they'll say the shopkeepers or the bus drivers are, there's a visually impaired person on this bus. Is he waiting to get to your group type of thing? So that's what I
Yeah.
really like about my community. And obviously because they see us often, they know to look out for us. And like, well, if we get stuck or lost, their drivers are usually helpful to say the visually impaired person's there waiting for you outside Specsavers or Greggs.
Yeah.
And like the train driver normally knows and tells me,
Yeah.
that's your friends are on the on they've missed the one train, but they're on the next one, don't worry. So
Oh,
no one has to
nice.
ever worry, because obviously if as long as we use all the services like passenger assist, we obviously improve the service while we use it. So it's
Yeah.
always good to use passenger assist.
Yeah,
Yeah.
definitely. Oh, well, Faz, it's been an absolute pleasure to chat to you, and I wish you lots of success with the group. I'm sure it'll go from strength to strength. It already has. So
Yes.
yeah, but wish you lots of success with it and keep us posted, keep us updated.
I will. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.